Good afternoon, everybody, or I guess good morning, depending on where you happen to be sitting right now. Thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to bring you today's webinar on a very important and very cool topic, and that's neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro-linguistic programming has proven to be an effective communication tool that helps individuals be more successful and achieve desired outcomes in conversations. For individuals in the credit collection industry, neuro-linguistic programming offers the opportunity to improve collection calls and be more persuasive. In this webinar, sponsored by Microbuilt, noted neuro-linguistic programming and skip tracing expert Ron Brown is here to teach the science of neuro-linguistics and how to improve collection rates and reduce the number of confrontational conversations. This is the first in a three-day, three-part webinar series featuring presentations from Ron Brown that are being sponsored by Microbuilt. Tomorrow, Ron's going to be here to talk about the fundamentals of cyber tracking, and on Thursday, he'll be here to talk about how to skip trace in an age of social media. You can find links to register for all these events at accountsrecovery.net. I want to say I'm very grateful to Microbuilt and Ron for doing so much to help educate and inform the industry. It is such a rare and special dynamic here in the credit collection industry, where there are so many people like Ron who are willing to share their knowledge and expertise with people they don't even know, or in this case, can't even see. And for companies like Microbuilt, who are so dedicated to using their resources, in such an altruistic manner. I wanted to say take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Ron Brown has more than 45 years of experience in the field of locating and recovering lost and missing people and assets. He's internationally recognized as one of the leaders in the tracing and recovery industry and spends much of his time acting as an instructor for various credit and collection entities. Having received the ACA International Fred Kirshner Instructor Achievement Award for instructing more than 250 ACA seminars, he was also three times selected by ACA International as its Certified Instructor of the Year. Nationally recognized as one of the key instructors of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, Grantley Act, and HIPAA, Ron has written many published articles on these ever-changing federal laws and continues to conduct seminars related to these statutes. Before I hand the presentation over to Ron, I want to take a quick minute and talk about our sponsor, Microbuilt. For more than 35 years, Microbuilt has been helping businesses assess and manage risk. They were a pioneer in the now exploding alternative credit data space, and as such have refined their products and services to deliver true business value. Through the years, Microbuilt has invested heavily in acquiring best-in-class data. They built sophisticated systems for keeping their data fresh and accurate, and powerful predictive models for making decisions around lending, leasing, collections, and risk management. With Microbuilt, you can customize the products you need and how much you want to spend, and all their products are provided through a single, simple access portal. Whether you're working in originations or debt collections, screening a potential hire or tenant, planning for growth, or keeping up with regulatory requirements, Microbuilt can be your partner, providing the insight and information you need to protect your business, grow your bottom line, and keep your company running smoothly. For more information, please visit www.microbuilt.com. The format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Ron. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when his presentation has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it in the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net on the webinar recordings page. With that, let me bring in and introduce Ron Brown to begin his presentation today. Ron, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for that introduction. Let's go through these first slides real quick, if you'll take us to the first one. And I think you covered all that, so let's just move on to the next one. And I need to give you a legal disclaimer. I'm not an attorney. What I'm presenting is for educational purposes only. It's not to be considered legal advice. If you need legal advice, contact your attorney. We're going to move fast today. This is a fast-paced seminar. It's about a six-hour seminar condensed into about 45 minutes. So let's get started real quick. Let's talk about neurolinguistics and what it is. We're going to cover three areas today: understanding NLP, which is neurolinguistic program, and how it affects the human mind. We're going to talk about how and why it works You know, I've told people I can teach you how, but the ones who really succeed are the ones that know why. So we want to talk about why it works. And then we're going to conclude with five of the most powerful words in the English language and how we can use them as skip tracers and collectors to get what we want. Neurolinguistic programming is a pseudoscientific approach to communication. It was noted, discovered, talked about in the early 70s. And I first heard about it when I was working with the government, and it was used in interrogation techniques to get information. It basically, neurolinguistic, language of the human mind, it covers three of the most influential components of our human experience. Neurology, which is our brain, language, which is our communication tool, and then programming, how we are programmed from a very early age. And we are. We're programmed from the time that we're born. There's things programmed into our brain that's going to stay there forever. We're programmed by our parents. We're programmed by our teachers when we go to school, by our peers, by our siblings, by our spouses, and by our coworkers. All of this programming is there. There is a portion of the brain, and if you look at that slide, see the little blue area, the occipital lobe? That is commonly referred to as the monkey brain. And this is where neurolinguistics really come in and where they work, because it's automatic reflexes. We automatically do things. Have you ever said yes, and a few minutes later wonder why you said yes? Somebody comes up and says, will you do this, or can I do that? And you say, yeah, it's okay, go ahead. And you wonder, why did I say yes? Why did I agree to do that? You know, another thing, have you ever driven from point A to point B and not remember driving there? I mean, you're taking a 3,500-pound vehicle down the road and you don't remember driving. The monkey brain loves to say yes, hates to say no, and we'll talk about why a little later. Point A to point B, automatic reflex kicks in. You drive that same way every day. If you want to really work with your brain, don't drive the same way to work every day. Drive different ways. Don't always do things right-handed. Sometimes do things left-handed. That exercises that brain. You know, the most common and realistic thing is breathing. Do you ever think, I've got to breathe in, I got to breathe out. I got to breathe in, I got to breathe out. If I don't, I die. If anybody disagrees with that, you know, let me know about it. If you don't breathe, you die. But you don't have to think about it. It's controlled by this small occipital lobe that holds everything that we do by automatic reflex. And let's talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about words. We see on the next slide, words are very important in the human language and how we communicate with each other. Mike, take us to the next slide there. What affects the human mind? You know, we have our senses, sight, smell, touch, and sound. If we shut our eyes, it increases the other senses. If we, you know, smell things, touch things, but in our communication tools, if we can't see a person, and when we're talking to them on the telephone, you can't see them, so sound becomes very important. With all of us, there's words that you like. Words that make you feel warm and fuzzy. There's words that you dislike. Words that trigger you. Words that make you feel good. Words that make you feel bad. Words that make you excel. Words that make you want to rest. Words that motivate you. You know, I ask people all the time in a full-length seminar what these words are, words they like, words they dislike. And it's amazing what you hear sometimes. One of the words that motivates you, money. Money. I hear that all the time. Money motivates people. Absolutely. Attaboy motivates people. There's words that make you feel uncomfortable. It could be profanity. It could be just a word. You know, there's a word that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like to say it. I don't like to hear it. And it's not profanity, but it makes me feel uncomfortable. And there's words that make you feel comfortable. Keep in mind, all of these words that affect your mind are stored in that little blue part of the brain, the monkey brain. And so we're going to work with that, understanding that's where it comes from. We see on the next slide, neurolinguistics. You know, that's a big, long word. But with the proper understanding and use of these words, they can aid the professional collector, the professional skip tracer, to achieve greater recovery percentage, and to de-escalate confrontations and reduce job stress. You know, one of the most stressful things that I've ever found, especially in skip tracing, is when people ask me questions. Well, what's this about? Who are you? Where are you calling from? Is this about a bill? You know, we can't tell the people. We can't say, yes, the people we're trying to locate owe money. We do. We violate the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and probably state privacy acts also. Is this about their hospital bill? You say, yes, it is, and you violated HIPAA. So how do we handle things like that? Because when we're asked questions, if we don't answer the question, we're not going to get anything at all out of those people. You know, so how do we get around that? You know, how do we not answer questions yet motivate people to give us information? If somebody says, you know, well, what's this about? Is this about a bill they owe? And you say, well, I'm sorry, but under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, I can't give you that information. Or, you know, I'm sorry, but under federal law, I can't give you that information. I guarantee you, they will shut the window on you and you'll get no information at all. So I'm going to give you a very advanced neurolinguistic technique right now where if you don't want to, you will never have to answer another question. Now, I'm not telling you not to answer questions. I'm telling you if it's a question you don't want to ask, you don't want to answer, then you're going to, if you will use this technique, but you have to use it exactly as I tell you, because this is the way the human mind is programmed. There's several steps. Step number one, repeat the question exactly as they said it. If someone's calling you, are you a bill collector? Ask back, am I a bill collector? And then hesitate. That lets the enzymes in their brain work a little bit. And then you say, that is a very, and you can use odd, unusual, or strange question. See, nobody wants to be odd, unusual, or strange. So consequently, we're going to use one of those words. Am I a bill collector? Hesitate. That's a very odd question. Why would you ask me that? Who are you? Who am I? That's a very strange question. Why would you ask me that? What's this about? What is this about? That's a very unusual question. Why would you ask me that? Where are you calling from? Keep in mind, under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, there is only one question that you absolutely must answer, and that is, who do you work for? Be very careful, because some of these attorneys are using this, where are you calling from? And you say, well, I'm calling from Collection Services International. Well, they didn't ask you who you work for. They asked you where you're calling from. I'm calling from Oklahoma City. But if I don't even want to answer that, where am I calling from? That's an odd question. Why would you ask me that? Is this about a bill? That's a very strange question. Why would you ask me that? Now, you're empowered with knowledge that they're not empowered with. You know that you do not have to answer the question. They don't know that. So when you say, that's an odd question, why would you ask me that? Them not wanting to be odd will tell you, well, I know a lot of bill collectors have been calling for him. Well, I know they owe a lot of money. Well, I know he lost his job. And you have just gained information, giving nothing and not shutting that window. They don't realize that you didn't answer the question. There's a power word that we're going to learn soon, one of those five words that moves us right along from this point right here. But this is how neurolinguistics work. This is the way it works. Let's talk about the five words. We see the five words in the next program, on the next slide. These are programming words. These words are programmed into your brain, that little part there that shows in pink, that tiny part of the brain. No, why, because, help, and really. You notice no has a period after it. Remember that. Why has a question mark? Because has three dots, more to come. Help has an exclamation point, and really can have a period. Really, it can have a question mark. Really, it can have a tell me more, or really, the exclamation mark. So we really don't know what really means. We'll learn how to use these words very quickly here, but let me give you another quick example. I call it the name game. And again, this is part of the programming that's in your brain and you don't even realize it. We see on the next slide, the name game. It's how neurolinguistics can affect you with one simple question. Who would you give the most information to? If I called you on the phone, Skip Tracing, would you give more information to Mr. Brown? Or would you give more information to Ron? Or would you give more information to Ronnie? Which one, Mr. Brown, Ron, or Ronnie? As professional tracers, we made a study of this. I can tell you who you'll give the most information to. Ronnie. You'll give the most information to Ronnie. Why? You know, as collectors, we have to wear many hats. We have to have our collector hat, and that is firm but fair. You owe the money. You have the ability to pay. I'm a professional debt collector. I have the ability to collect the money from you. I can create a word picture by Mr. Brown. We teach collectors in the opening part of a call when they identify themselves. Identify the consumer, identify yourself. If I identify myself as Mr. Brown, they know immediately this is a business call. I can be Ron. Ron's a little bit different, a little nicer. Or I can be Ronnie. And when I'm Skip Tracing, I'm always Ronnie. And you notice even my voice changes when I put that Ronnie hat on. You know, why? Because Ronnie gives the impression of a young, non-threatening person. Your brain creates a word picture every time you hear a name. You ever talk to somebody on the telephone and you get a word picture of what they look like, an image of what they look like, and when you meet them in person, they look nothing like that. Absolutely nothing in any way whatsoever like what you thought they were going to look like based on the name. So remember that. As collectors, we may be Mr. Brown. We may be Ron, somebody we call every month and we get to know them and, you know, they'll pay. You just got to get them on the phone. And Ronnie, we also use this to control the conversation. When someone answers the phone, I'll call them by their first name. Mike, the obvious answer when somebody calls you by your first name is yes, I've hooked you. Mike, yes. Mike Gibb, yes. Now I set the tone for the call, and this is your linguistics. I can say, Mr. Gibb, this is Mr. Brown. That's a business call. I look on this, and the last time Mike talked to somebody, he was kind of mean and nasty. So I can say, Mike, this is Mr. Brown. Now you think about that. I'm calling by him by his first name, and he is having to refer to me as Mr. Remember when your parents programmed you that Mr. and Mrs. were signs of respect? I have used neurolinguistics to force him to respect me. He's Mike, and I'm Mr. Brown. It may be, again, that, you know, hey, he's just one of these people I call every month, he'll pay. It may be that I want to be Mike, and this is Ron. It may be that he is an elderly person, much older than me, and I want to show him respect. So I might say, Mr. Gibb, this is Ron with CSI Group. You know, now I'm showing him respect, and older people, the pre-boomers and the early boomers, they like that. They like to be called Mr. and Mrs. And remember, that's what your parents taught you to call people as a sign of respect. And it may be, you know, that this is a person I talk to every month. They're just lonely. They're just waiting on somebody to call them. So it might be, hey, Mike, this is Ronnie. It depends on what I want and how I get it. But I can control that conversation just by my name, the name game. That's exactly what we're doing. We are communicating with their mind, creating a word picture in their mind as to what we look like. You control that. As Skip Tracers, we found that more people give information to people whose name end in I-E or Y than anyone else. Ronnie, Bobby, Mary, Judy, Billy, because it creates that word picture. You know, you'll see on the next slide kind of what we're talking about. You'll see Mr. Brown, and you see Ron, and you see Ronnie. Those are the three images that we can create just by using the name. And who offers the least threat? Obviously, Ronnie. Young, non-threatening. Now, not only do you know the how, but you know the why. So now you're ready to start looking at these five powerful words. The next slide, we see one of the most important words in the English language, and it's the word no. You know, when I first got in the collection business, I would come in the morning, and I would sit, and I would go to the bathroom. I would drink my coffee. I would talk to other people. I would do everything I could do to keep from making that first call. And I got to thinking one day, why am I doing this? You know, why do I do this? Well, we have chosen a profession to put ourselves in harm's way to hear the word that we do not like more than any other word, the word no. A good collector will collect 3 out of every 10 accounts assigned to them. That's a good collector. 3 out of every 10. That's batting 300, just like a baseball player. What happens on the other 7? We hear the word no. We don't like to hear it. Why do we not like the word no? First of all, I will tell you, without any hesitation, without any mental reservation, that no is the very first word that a child hears and understands that it has meaning. You think about it. If you have small children, you would tell them no. That'll be the word you say to them more than any other word, no. And you don't just say it, no. It comes out in threes. There is power in threes. And you know, that's another technique that we use in neurolinguistics. But no, no, no. No, no, no. That's the way it comes out. Harsh, no, no, no. We actually, at a very young age, develop a fear of the word no. It reaches a point where we don't want to hear no. We don't want to say no. We just don't want to have any part of no. Now, the monkey brain hates the word no. It loves to say yes. So you wonder why, when someone comes up and asks you to do something, you say yes. You wonder why you agree to let people do things, and you wonder later on, why did I say they could do that? Why? Because the answer came from the monkey brain. The monkey brain hates the word no. It loves to say yes. The automatic reflex is yes. If you want to get a yes out of somebody, get them busy doing something and then ask them a question. They will tell you the truth because the monkey brain will not lie. The monkey brain cannot lie. It tells the truth. And you want a yes. You know, we use this technique, and I'm going to give you 2 examples. When you're talking skip tracing and you're feeling resistance, the person, you know, no. Do you know where they're at? No. Well, you have any information? No. You feel this resistance. There is a way that you can actually manipulate their mind and turn them around. Get them to say yes 3 times. Yeah, well, let me be sure, you know, you, Mr. Gibb, you are Joe Gibb's brother, aren't you? He's got to say yes. You ask questions that you know the answer is yes. And he did work for you at one point, didn't he? Yes. And he gave us this telephone number, so he used this phone number at one time, didn't he? Yes. And, you know, and you do want to help him out, don't you? The word comes out, the 4th word will always be yes. When you ask 3, if you can get them to say yes 3 times, then the 4th one is going to be a yes. Now we reverse that, and the phone rings, and I'm looking for Mike's brother, Joe Gibb, and I know he doesn't live there. I know this is Mike's number, but when Mike answers the phone, and even if it's Mike's wife and it's a woman, I'll say, Joe, what do they have to say? No. Well, this is Joe's number, isn't it? No. Well, Joe does live there, doesn't he? No. Remember I told you there's power in threes. You got to make them say no 3 times. At that point, Their brain will be begging to give you a positive. Well, how can I get in touch with Joe? Now, nothing is 100%. I cannot give you a golden bullet, but I can tell you this is an advanced neurolinguistic technique that professional tracers use to get information. Make them say no three times and then just ask them a simple question. Well, what phone number can I reach him at? And you'll be surprised how many times they will just turn right around and give you that number. Because again, they don't like to say no. We fear the word no. They fear the word no also. They don't like the word no any more than we do. So embrace the word no. When someone asks you a question, will you do something for me or can I do something? Stop. Repeat that question to yourself and then decide. You know, a lot of times somebody comes up and says, will you do me a favor? And people say, oh yeah, what is it? You don't even know what it is and you're agreeing to do it. You know, learn to say, I don't know. Tell me what the favor is and I'll tell you whether or not I'll do it. Don't fear the word no. Embrace it and learn to use it and understand it is a very, very powerful word in the English language. Let's move to the next word. Little kids growing up, our parents told us no, and all kids go through this why age. Why? No matter what you say, the next word out of their mouth is why. Well, why? Why do I have to do that? Why? You know, somewhere along the line, your parents said, hey, because I said so, and that's why. You know, why is a question. We are taught from a very early age that we have to answer questions. Your parents told you, I'm talking to you, answer my question. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth and nothing will happen. You tell them the truth and boy, something did happen usually, you know. They get a stick and beat you with it. But we're taught to tell the truth. We're taught to answer questions. Think about it. You get in school and you take a test. What is a test? It's nothing but questions. And you get rewarded for the more questions you can answer correctly. So not only do our parents do it to us, you know, think about it. If you had a child and you're talking to your child, and he just sits there and he doesn't answer any of your questions. Where have you been? What have you been doing? I mean, if they don't answer the questions, you're going to get upset. So the child learns that he's got to answer the questions. Then he gets in school and the teachers ask him questions. They get to raise their hand. Remember when you were in school and they'd ask a question and you raised your hand and you got to answer in front of everybody and show them how smart you are? From the time our parents ask us, what are you doing, to that final test in college, we are rewarded for answering questions and we're penalized for not answering. We develop a natural response to answer any question asked. But now you've learned a technique. Now you have empowered yourself with something that other people don't know. You don't have to answer questions if you don't want to. You may be asked a question today and you got to use this or you lose it. Hey, I know you won that online seminar. Was that any good? Was that any good? That's an odd question. Why would you ask me that? They will tell you why they ask you. They will answer your question and you can just move right along. Like I say, we'll learn the move along word here in a few minutes. But there's another thing to this why too. When you're asking a question of someone, you ever ask a question and 2 or 3 minutes later, you don't remember how they answered it? You know, if that occurs within you, you're very smart. That happens to people who are very intelligent because what happens is you ask the question, but before they can answer it, your brain has moved on to something else. So especially when we're skip tracing, when we interrogate, you know, when we interrogate people, when we ask them questions, we need to stop and listen to the answer. Disengage your brain. When was the last time you saw him? Do you have any idea why he moved? What is his current phone number? Stop and listen. Learn to do that because sometimes we get the answer and we don't remember what it was. Sometimes somebody will tell you their name and you don't remember their name. You know, I'm a firm believer in writing information down as we go, as we talk. So, 2 things about why. Number one, remember it's a question. And We think we're supposed to answer questions. You don't have to. They don't know that. They'll answer the question. And two, when you ask a question, stop and listen to the full answer. So no, why? The third word we're going to talk about is what comes next. And it's because, you know, once again, this is programmed into your brain by your parents, because I said so, and that's all you need to know. That's what our parents said, because I said so. You know, well, how come I have to do this? Because I said so. You get into school, well, how come we have to do this? Because that's the rules. The rules, because. What does because mean? Stand alone, because means absolutely nothing. You know, why are you leaving work early today? Well, because, you know. What does that mean? Because is not a reason. But people who study neurolinguistics say that because your parents ingrained this into you, that if you will start any sentence with the word because, and once again, technique becomes so important. You don't just say, well, because I, blah, blah. You say, because, and then you hesitate. These hesitations should be to 3 Mississippi, because 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and then you can give the reason. If you will do that, you stand to a 30 to a 35% better chance of getting anything you ask for. An example would be in skip tracing, because it's very important I reach your brother today, Mike. What number can I call him at? Because I know you care about him, you know any way I can reach him. Learn to use that word because. You can do it anywhere. Because I need to leave early Friday, can I get off early? Because, and try this with your husband. Hey, you ever ask your husband to take the trash out, you women? And the, you know, you get, hey, I'll do it at the next commercial. They're watching the football game. Next commercial comes and goes. They don't. See, you didn't give them a reason. If you'll start the sentence with the word because, automatically you got a 30 to 5% better chance of getting them to do what you want. The trash is starting to stink. Would you please take it out? Now you've given them the reason. So learn to use the word because. No, why, because. Because why? Because is not a reason. I need to know why. Play that game. Play the no, why, because game. We play it with each other in my office all the time. Anytime anyone says no, we respond immediately by saying why or why not. Anytime somebody says why or why not, we'll say because. And we wait for them to say because is not a reason. I need to know the reason. You know, it's really odd because you will start recognizing this now. You'll see people doing this to you, playing this game with you, the because game. So no, why, because. Next word, help. You know, help is a very powerful word. Based on the Freudian pleasure principle, that's a theory that you do things because it makes you feel good. You help people, not necessarily to help them, because it makes you feel good. I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but, you know how you feel when you see the guy standing out there and he's got this sign, you know, veteran, will work for food, and you know that the guy is not going to work, but you'll give him a dollar, you'll give him 50 cents, or the fireman out there with the bucket collecting money, you know, and you give him money. Why do you do that? Do you really do it to help the other person, or because it makes you feel good? You ever stop to help somebody that's having a problem beside the road? You stop and help them fix their tire, you stop, anything. It appeals to the ego and allows a person to feel important. This is a very important word to use in your vocabulary if and when you need to get information from someone. Start out using that word help. Mike, I was told that you are probably the only person that can help me. You know, I need some information, and I am sure that you are the person I need to come to for help. Learn to use that word. Allow other people to feel good about themselves. Help. Great word. Okay, the final word, and then one of the most powerful words, de-escalation word in the English language, is the word really. The word really has no clear meaning, and therefore the interpretation is totally based on what the hearer understands at that particular given moment. Great de-escalation word. I'm never going to pay that bill. Really? You know, if you ever call me again, I'm going to sue you. You know, we don't argue with people. We're not going to say, hey, I'm going to call you till you pay your bill. Instead, we just say, really? You know, you'll never find my brother Joe. Really? Really is a great de-escalation word. Use it to diffuse volatile situations. And what it does, the why, is it causes the hearer to pause, to digest the direction of the conversation based on how the word's being used. You know, there's a lot of words in the English language. We learned early on that if someone is angry and we're either collection or if we're skip tracing and we can hear and detect that anger in the voice, how can we use that? What can we do? You know, how can we do that? We learned if we say, well, wait a minute, have I done something to make you mad? Boy, they come right back at you. But if you will use the word cross instead of mad. Well, now, just a minute. Mike, I understand you're upset. Have I done something to make you cross? They have to stop and think about what the word cross actually means. They don't have to think about the word mad. They know about the word mad. And yeah, I'm mad. But the word cross is different. Have I done something to make you cross? You'll be surprised how using that word instead of angry or mad de-escalates the situation. And that's what really is. Really just causes the person to pause. They have to think about it for a moment. You know, you're not arguing with them, you know. I'm never going to pay that bill, really. I don't owe that money. Instead of saying, well, yes, you do. I've got all the paperwork right here, and you do owe the money. Instead, you just say, really. So, you know, very, very important word. Know, why, because, help, and really. Learn to work those words into your language on a daily basis. We see our final slide here. And again, we go back to the neurolinguistic programming. Understand about these words. You have learned some very important things about neurolinguistics today. There's some great books out there on neurolinguistics, but they're very expensive. I would tell you, go on the internet and Google neurolinguistic programming if you want to learn more about neurolinguistics. These five words, they just scratch the surface on how you can motivate people. And it's actually mind manipulation. And it's so strange how the human mind works. And we can use this in our collection techniques and in our skip tracing techniques to get more money, to make more people do what we want them to do, to manipulate their mind. Those of you online who are members of Eagle Group, the code for today's module is N as in Nora, 2, L as in Lincoln, 1-8, P as in Paul, 2-0. That's N2L18P20. You will need that code to get credit for continuing education today. Mike, that ends it. If we have any questions out there, I would be happy to address them. As you say, you'll have this online, and if anyone wants a copy of this PowerPoint, I'll be happy to send it to them. Back to you, Mike.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you very much, Ron. Awesome job. I'll give people a chance. If you have any questions for Ron, now's your chance to type it into the Q&A box of the Zoom webinar control panel, and we'll get to it in the next couple of minutes. While I give people a chance to ask to submit their questions, Ron, I had a question. And you know what I find very interesting about this presentation, which is fascinating, is that at no point do you really try to offer any suggestions about how to collect more. It's more sort of conversational, and it's more sort of about sort of making sure that the tensions don't rise, and that there's no, you know, de-escalate when it does. But it sets it all up, I guess, for a successful conversation or communication. Which I find really interesting.
It's almost like fencing. You know, people are so used to collectors and what collectors say and the 8 steps of the collection call that they're programmed how to come back against us, what to say to the collector or the skip tracer. And so when you come in with something different, they don't know how to respond to it. And remember, the monkey brain loves to say yes. The monkey brain loves to tell the truth. We just want to give them that opportunity. And like I say, it's basically NLP is mind manipulation to get the information and to motivate the people to do the things we want to do without having to waterboard them. We don't need to waterboard them to get the information.
We have a question here that came in from someone who says he's a baby boomer and did grow up with sort of right and wrong in respect. How do you deal with the new generation that maybe didn't grow up with the same ideals? Do the same tactics work?
You know, they do, but sometimes in a different manner. And again, there's no golden bullet. And I would tell you, they probably don't work as much. It's very important for collectors and skip tracers to study the different age groups that we have to work with. You know, there's the pre-boomers, the boomers, the X generation, the Y generation, and the cyber babies. And they all have different value tags. And it doesn't mean one is any better than the other, but you have got to study what the value tags are so you know what appeals to that particular person. In skip tracing, we know that the pre-boomers, you know, they'll all have landlines. 50% of boomers have landlines. You move from there on, it decreases. And today, you know, people don't even, they don't even want to talk anymore. They want to text. They communicate by texting. So once again, you know, knowing these 5 words are very important when you're even when you're texting, because they'll work. Use them. If you don't use them, you lose them.
That's excellent. Very good advice. We did have someone ask if you could please repeat the code for your members of your Eagle group for their continuing education certification. Can you repeat the code one more time, please?
Yes, it's N as in Nora. 2 as in the numeral 2, L as in Lincoln, 1-8, P as in Paul, 2-0.
Excellent. Well, Ron, thank you so much for kicking off this 3-part webinar series. This was a great start. You know, looking forward to having you back tomorrow to talk about, I know, one of your favorite topics, cyber tracking. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
Click on that next slide a moment, Mike.
Sure. There we go.
Ernest Hemingway wrote, "There is no hunting like the hunting of a man, and those who have hunted men and liked it have never cared for hunting anything else thereafter." That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, hunting man. And man is a generic term because women are a lot harder to hunt than men. But that's what we'll be talking about, and how to cyber track those people. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, I'm certainly smart enough to know that Ernest Hemingway is going to say it a lot better than I ever could. So I'm going to we'll close on that note. Ron, thanks again. I really want to thank Microbuilt again for sponsoring today's webinar, as well as tomorrow and Thursday's as part of this series. Please go to www.microbuilt.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated today. A recording will be posted to accountsrecovery.net. webinar recordings page in the next 24 hours or so. I hope everybody signs up for tomorrow's webinar on cyber tracking and Thursday's webinar on social media and skip tracing. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Take care.